Good afternoon. Welcome to the meeting of Cabinet held on Tuesday, 17th of January 2023. We're in the Coltman Room of the Town Hall at Burton. We'll start with item one to receive apologies for absence.
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Peters.
Thank you. Item two, are there any declarations of interest? No. Item three, to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 13th of December 2022. Is there any concerns of the minutes? None. Can I have a proposer? I'll be for the proposer. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Ashcroft, all those in favour? Thank you. I'll sign those minutes in a moment. Item four, to consider any urgent business brought forward under Rule 12. There's no urgent business. Item five, it's the forward plan, please, Chief Exec.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of January right the way through to the 30th of April. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you. Is there any questions on the forward plan, members? No? Okay, we'll move on to item six, COVID-19 emergency planning recovery update. Please, can I ask James Abbott to present?
Thanks, Leader. So this is the latest in the series of quarterly COVID recovery update reports, and the focus of the report, as it has been previously, is primarily on activities and opportunities for the ongoing recovery from any impacts that we might have seen from the pandemic over the past couple of years. So in the normal way, we've collated a number of relevant activities that contribute to those four broad recovery themes that we'd identified previously. But as always, that table you can see on page six of the report really just shows the particular highlights that relate to those four themes, with all the full detail, of course, set out throughout the remaining sections of the report. So if I just pull out the key updates and the significant additions since the last report that was presented to the Cabinet. If we start with local economy and business, that's section 5.3 of the report. There's detail there on all the hard work that's gone into the various grants and reliefs that have been administered by the Council. There's also reference to the ongoing advice and support from our enterprise team, as well as information on the programme of Christmas in Burton events, which kicked off back in November with the annual Light Switch On event, and also the various events happening through the Market Hall and the Marketplace in the subsequent months. The Council has also approved an updated procurement policy recently with added focus on local supply, and we've also included reference to the free Saturday parking in the run-up to Christmas in all the Council's car parks. Moving on to section 5.4, that's infrastructure and environment. So there's information here on the various regeneration opportunities. So there's detail there on the Towns Fund, the Levelling Up Fund, the UKSPF. And we've also added detail on the Council's recent successes once again at the In Bloom Awards this year, and also the work undertaken to seek opinions on potential locations for tree planting in an effort to increase carbon capture areas and improve biodiversity. So there's also information on the public consultation exercise on the final concept plans for the Maltings development. And also back in December, the Council approved plans for additional capital investment to be made into the enhancements at the Washlands area of Burton. So moving on to section 5.5, we're looking here at physical and psychological health of the community. So we've included a range of initiatives there on arising from Everyone Active. So, for example, the Age is Just a Number campaign. There's also their Jog On campaign and the range of holiday activities that they've delivered as well through the various centres. There's also a range of activities delivered through the Brew House, through the markets and through the Communities and Open Spaces teams. And we've also added reference to the Warm Spaces initiatives aimed at providing support to combat the cost of living. For example, the donation to local food providers to help over the festive period. And the final theme in the report is around new practices and behaviours, which you can see there in section 5.6. So we've included information this quarter on the strategy that the Council has launched with the aim of developing its relationship with the voluntary and community sector. And you might have also seen in the recent member briefings, for example, fairly recently, the Venn diagram style note that we collated, which collated a summary of all the responses, including some of the business as usual type of actions that contribute to mitigating the cost of living crisis. And finally, following the discussion at one of our recent full council meetings, the council has now signed up to the Dying to Work campaign, which is aimed at supporting employment protection for any terminally ill workers. So that's really a quick summary of the key additions since the last report was presented. As I say, all the further detail is set out throughout the report. But as you can hopefully see, as with previous quarters, there's been a lot of really good work happening throughout the organisation from across each of those four broad themes that we've been looking at, all of which contribute to the recovery of our communities and businesses. Recommendation is simply to note the update provided in the report. And with that, I'm happy to pass back to you, Leader, for any comments or questions.
Thanks, James. The first lockdown commenced in March, 3 years ago. In March, in 2 months' time, so it was 3 years ago when the lockdowns commenced. And I thought I might take this opportunity, given it's turn of the year, and we're getting this report on the how the council's recovering. A whole host of things that are included in there, all the things that we're doing, and it's good to see that we're now, I think, let's say, I hope I'm not jinxing anything in saying that we're past the point at which it's significantly impacting the council. We've gone from not having, not even knowing if we can come into the council chamber to do conduct council's business, to now more or less back to normal. Been some good innovations along the way, Zoom being one of them, or virtual meetings being one of them, and they're here to stay in some respects. But it was a good report, and good to see all the things that we're doing. So thank you, James. Is there any questions or comments from members? No? Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to item 7, appointment of contractor to provide gas and electricity to the council. I'll ask Daniel, please, to present.
Thank you, Leader. So this report has been compiled with the purposes of appointing Total Energies as our electricity and gas supplier via an ESPEC framework. As I'm sure members are aware, the energy market is extremely volatile at the moment, and there remains significant risk to gas supplies, and this in particular has had a significant impact on costs. So as a result of the volatility in the market, it is important that the council considers its utility contracts as soon as possible to maximise value for money as far as we possibly can. Council's current contracts are with Total Energies, so which would be an ESPO framework. And throughout the current contract periods, we've benefited from ESPO's flexible basket purchasing approach. This aggregates baskets with other public sector customers, which will provide a cheaper rate than a fixed price contract. Section 4.7 of the report provides an overview of the flexible basket, but the analysis shows that the council has saved just under £16,000 on electricity and £40,000 on gas since 2016 by being included in this flexible basket arrangement. Appendix 1 summarises these savings. ESPO has recently renewed their electricity and gas framework, and the supplier appointed is Total Energies. So the renewal of these frameworks gives the council the opportunity to rejoin ESPO's flexible basket arrangement for the supply of electricity and gas, and we'll continue to receive these benefits. In order for us to join, though, we have to commit to ESPO by the 31st of January this month. In terms of green energy, we declared a climate emergency in August 2020 and set an aspiration to make the borough carbon neutral by 2050. So whilst it's not specifically proposed in this report that the council procures green energy, joining the flexible basket would give the council the ability to choose whether it utilises brown or green energy in the coming years. So in a practical sense, prior to each contract year, ESPO can provide us with an uplift for green energy 6 months prior to the start of a new contract year, and an indicative price of brown energy based on the amount that ESPO has purchased up to that point. So the recommendations of the report are to commit the council to join in ESPO's flexible basket and appoint Total Energies for its gas and electricity supply via the ESPO framework for the supply of gas for a three-year period from 1st of April 24 to 1st of March 27, the supply of electricity for a four-year period from the 1st of October 24 to the 30th of September 28, and also to note the council can choose whether its gas and or electricity supply is green or brown ahead of a contract year as per paragraph 4.93 of the report. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Daniel. Any questions or comments, Councillor Sankey?
Thank you. I'd like to sort of thank Dan for all the excellent work on this he's done. I fully support this. I think there's a few just key points just to emphasise. This is a framework agreement. It does give us security, much more secure than just going out on our own on this, and it offers a secure over a number of years, which I think is a good one. And on top of that, it demonstrates we've got over £55,000 worth of savings since 2016, which I think is worth noting that we've done as a result of going down this route. So I think it's worthwhile just noting that as well. And on top of that, I think, as Dan has highlighted, the green aspect is an important one, that we do need to make the decision as time goes on whether we move, whether we go for the brown or the green option of energy. So I fully support this report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from members? Councillor Faulkner.
Just wish to endorse what Councillor Sank has just said. It gives us an option here to 6 months before the contract is due to expire to actually see whether it's worthwhile trying to go down the green route and use REGO rather than using brown energy, and it therefore fits with our climate change agenda.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members? As Councillor Sankey's pointed out, it's a good indication of how much gas and electricity is going to cost over the next 4 years. Obviously, one of the biggest impacts to everybody, whether you're a business or a resident, electricity and gas prices have fluctuated quite a lot. They've gone up a lot as well. Remains a big risk to the council's finances. And so, whilst we would always like to try and purchase green energy where possible, have to balance that with funding other council services as well. So if we can do it, we must, but there's always a cost element attached to it as well. So I'm happy to propose a recommendation set out in item in paragraph 12. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Sankey, all those in favour? Thank you very much. That's unanimous. We shall move on to item 8, second year parks development plan. Please, Dan, is it? Oh, it's Mike, sorry. Okay, my name's mixed up on the agenda. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Yes, this is the second year of the parks development plan. As you will see, the parks development plan is divided into five distinct sections. You've got volunteering and community, visual amenity, climate change, biodiversity, operations and marketing and promotion. I'll just touch on various parts from each of those sections. So as you will see from the report, we continue to have a really strong presence within the community and our volunteering operations, particularly at the Horticultural Centre at the cemetery. We have received West Midlands special recognition for the work and our partnership with Fountain School with the work that we do with young children there. As a national award, we're one of only four in the country to have received that national recognition for our work again with Fountain School and our partnership with them. This was the first year that Burton was actually within the In Bloom Awards, and we had a silver gilt, which was the same as such a luminary as Bath. So very, really positive result in terms of the In Bloom score that we achieved for this year, and also at a national level, compared to what we traditionally with our West Midlands In Bloom level, where we tend to get gold every year. So we've had about 11 years of gold from that. Visual amenity, you'll have seen from the report as well that we have undertaken an exercise and put some dog poo bagged dispensers out on various parks and in some locations with parish councils. We continue to monitor their use across all the different sites, and we'll look to expand that in 23-24 with other parish councils as they start to get on board. We've also carried an audit of our play equipment. That's based on the age of the play equipment, but also a visual estimation from officers. I think the one thing I'd note to members is there's still a lot of play equipment out there that has been enjoyed by many generations, and there's still a nostalgia for the traditional swings and slide that people want to see and we've all used probably in our youth. Climate change and biodiversity continues to be really important, and that's where our tree planting programme will come in. We'll be planting trees at various locations across the winter and autumn months, which is a key time for planting of trees. As part of that, we'll be creating the climate change carbon capture areas where we can use some science to calculate how much carbon we've offset as a council as well. Operations members will have seen in a separate report the grounds maintenance contract performance that we've had with ID Verde, which runs from October the 31st to November the 1st each year. And there's a subsequent update report that will be coming
later this year, which will focus on the next 6 months of that contract from that report. And then finally, there's marketing and operations, because we've had the first year of In Bloom at a national level. We've managed to secure some sponsorship through the support of the regeneration team, and we're looking to replicate that in future years so we can continue to build on that good practice that we've established as part of being in the national awards.
Chair. Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments on this? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Really pleased with the report, and it highlights the areas where we have been very successful and where the Council has received awards from national and regional organisations. To me, it is a challenge to ensure that we continue this good work and make sure that we resource the department properly, particularly with our parks and open spaces, making sure that we are making inroads into our carbon action plan, carbon strategy action plan reduction, and making sure that we have sufficient volunteers to deliver the kind of open spaces and parks that we are proud of. We necessarily need to spend money on our parks and play equipment, and one of the things I'm looking at this moment in time for the next 4 years is the resource needed to maintain and ensure that our parks and play equipment are of the highest standard and not in a dilapidated state. And that is one of the ambitions over the next 4 years, to ensure that all of our play equipment is up to date, modern, and of a high standard.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Leader. Just to say, great report. I'd also like to highlight 5.3.1, which is the dog bag dispense locations. It's great to see that an initiative started by Branston residents during the pandemic has been taken up by ESBC using some of the surplus we had over from last year, and that they've now been rolled over across the borough. And the feedback that myself and other councillors have had is that they've been widely praised by residents. There's, I think, a few teething problems with vandalism in some of them, but on the whole, really positive reaction from residents, and that they've thought they've been a great decision to implement. So great to see those be rolled out.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Any other questions or comments? No. One thing I think needs pointing out in this report that I think we should be really proud of, and the Council should be really proud of, is the work that we've done with fountains, the activities and opportunities that we give children that visit the site in the cemetery is nothing short of phenomenal. I think it's fantastic. We've done it for so many years as well. If members aren't aware of it, encourage them to visit it and understand just what a great service it is. I guess the only thing to say on that is I think it should be expanded, even on that site alone, but certainly into other parts of the borough as well. And I'd just highlight the carbon reduction stuff as well. Planting more trees is, of course, really good for soaking up carbon from the atmosphere, helps with the carbon emissions, but it's also nice to have a much pleasant environment to walk around and explore. Green grass is nice. We have lots of green grass everywhere, and we have lots of green open spaces, and we're not proposing building planting trees over all of them, but woodland is also pleasant as well, and I don't think there's enough of it. So it ticks two boxes as far as I'm concerned. So thanks for that, Mike. We'll now move into private session. So I need to move that, in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded for the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in the view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item number on the agenda.